It's Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network. That means that I'm teaming up with Jeff Lloyd of Locked On Browns. We're going to talk a little bit about the upcoming Vikings-Browns matchup. Get hype.
Ooh-wee!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I am your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL, and you can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. And I just want to thank you all for making the Locked On Vikings podcast your first listen of the day. It's Crossover Thursday. We got Locked On Browns coming. That's going to be most of the episode. But first, a couple of quick notes. The injury report for both teams for Wednesday came out. The Vikings one was extensive, but it had a whole bunch of non-injury related absences, a few vet rest days, Mackenzie Alexander dealing with a personal matter, so no big deal there. Patrick Peterson, Harrison Smith, Rashad Hill, and Adam Thielen all taking vet days. There were a couple of injury related DNPs. Amir Smith-Marset sounds like he suffered a toe injury on one of those kick returns against the Seahawks, and that's why I think it was Amir Abdullah came in to take what was eventually the last kickoff return. And Tyler Conklin is dealing with both a glute and elbow injury, so he was DNP as well. A couple of situations to monitor. A whole bunch of players limited, and that's interesting. You have Dalvin Cook, that ankle injury up to limited. He did not practice all week, so this is already a very good sign for his availability. Xavier Woods dealing with a hamstring was limited. Eric Kendricks with a hip was limited. Harrison Hand upgraded to limited. Anthony Barr continues to be limited. It seemed like he was pretty close to playing against Seattle, so feel like there might be a decent chance here in this game. Still dealing with that knee. Chris Boyd has a hamstring injury, and then there were a couple of full participants, but were also on the injury report. Greg Joseph, some hip thing, and Christian Darrisaw upgraded to full participant. That is huge. Christian Darrisaw has not been a full participant in practice, but for like 1 or 2 days in camp, and then he immediately had a cleanup surgery, so it was clearly not time. And once they pushed it, I think they realized that there was going to be too much pain, and that's what kind of prompted them to get the surgery. So really good to see him get into full participation, and I want to circle back to that a little later, but first, real quick, the Browns version of the injury report. Odell Beckham is still dealing with a shoulder injury. He was limited on Wednesday. He played last week, so I imagine he'll play through it again this week. A few interesting DNPs. They're missing Jedrick Wills. They're starting tackle with an ankle injury. JC Treader is center with a knee injury. So a couple people on that offensive line are hurt and might not play or be playing through an injury. And also Greg Newsome, one of their corners, will not play with a calf. He's already been ruled out for the game. They also, Jack Conklin, their other tackle, limited. Chris Hubbard, another tackle, limited. So they're really depleted on that offensive line. So circling back to Christian Darrisaw, there is a conversation we're having a lot, which is about Rashad Hill and Christian Darrisaw. And basically the question comes up just about every mailbag too. Will Christian Darrisaw play when he's healthy, or when can we expect to see Christian Darrisaw? So if you rewind to pre-camp, that was supposed to be a position battle. That was a 50-50 position battle. Whoever plays better gets the job. And we didn't really know how well Christian Darrisaw would play because he was a rookie coming in. Who knows, right? Well, nothing's changed in that. We've seen Rashad Hill play pretty poorly. I thought he had an okay day against Seattle, but of course he was hidden a lot. We talked about that yesterday. We talked a lot about protections. So actually go check that episode out. I'm like pretty happy with it. But we haven't seen anything from Christian Darrisaw. So we haven't really seen any reasonable evidence that he would be better than Rashad Hill. And you might be really, really mad at Rashad Hill. My least favorite thing Vikings fans ever say about this is it can't get worse than blank, because it always can, right? You could put me out there, that would be worse. And there are worse players in the league than Rashad Hill, for sure. We've seen TJ Clemmings. We've seen worse players in the last 2 years than Rashad Hill with the Vikings. So it can certainly get worse than Rashad Hill. And one thing that could be worse than Rashad Hill, who absolutely knows the calls, knows the protections, knows where he's supposed to be, is somebody who doesn't. So if Christian Darrisaw is healthy, but because he hasn't had any reps, isn't ready to play, that would be a pretty good reason to keep him on the bench. If you want to go back to all the stuff we talked about yesterday, and I strongly encourage you, after you listen to this one, go listen to that one if you're confused about this, but more or less know that the center on every play tells you who you're supposed to block. And if you go to the wrong guy, It's a disaster. You want to see an example of that? Watch the Bears offensive line against these Cleveland Browns. The backup center, I think there was some hitch in the communication from center outward because the tackles were blocking the wrong guy all the time or taking the wrong pass set all the time, and guys were just getting to Justin Fields for free. It wasn't a blitz. It was, you know, you'd have the left tackle blocking nobody and then a blitzer coming in unblocked and sacking Justin Fields. That's worse. As bad, mad as you are about anything Rashad Hill does, the holding penalties week one, whatever, that's worse than that. So don't do that. Don't rush your way into that just to get the rookie on the field. But I would say if he is ready to play and he's healthy, there is probably a reasonable chance that he's better than Rashad Hill just based on our priors of him and his college tape and stuff like that. And the Rashad Hill bar isn't a high one to cross. So yeah, there's a reasonable chance, but don't put the kid in before he's ready. I want to talk about the Browns a lot more. We have Kevin Stefanski and Mike Zimmer going head to head. That's always really interesting. They know each other so well. You have Odell Beckham, you have Baker Mayfield, you have a very similar offense. Sheldon Richardson playing his old guys and all this. So you've got all this familiarity. We talked about that with Jeff Lloyd and a whole bunch of other things. It was an awesome conversation. So I'm excited to share that with you. But first, let me talk to you about how you get gas. Gas prices are going up. That's really frustrating. GetUpside is an app that can save you money at the pump. You can get 25 cents back per gallon. Just shave it off the top of whatever the gas price is that day just for using GetUpside. It's a free app that gets you cash back 25 cents per gallon. If you drive around a lot, that adds up. That's like $200-$300 a month just for getting the app. And there's no catch here. You can cash out whenever you want. Bank account, PayPal, Amazon, gift cards, whatever you want. And on top of that, you can use promo code TOUCHDOWN that gives you 25 cents more per gallon. That adds up to 50 cents off per gallon at the pump just for using promo code TOUCHDOWN when you sign up, and you can start saving. Free app on iTunes or Google Play that can save you up to 50 cents off of your first tank at the pump just for using promo code TOUCHDOWN.
And welcome aboard. As we said, it was going to be crossover Thursday. Vikings-Browns, it's going to be an exciting matchup here. A lot different from the last time these two teams met, which was 2017 in Europe. The Browns were, let's just say, folks, they were not very, very good.
Miles Garrett might want to forget, huh?
Yes, Miles Garrett didn't even play in that game. Didn't even put him on the plane to Europe.
The Deshaun Kaiser era.
Yes, and I do believe Jet McKinnon was a star that day. We have Luke Braun here, like I said, from Locked On Vikings. So we're going to do crossover Thursday. Going to be different for this week. What the Browns looked good on this past Sunday defensively, it's going to be a heck of a lot different this week against the Vikings. And I do want to start there. Anybody doesn't know, Luke Braun, obviously our host of Locked On Vikings. Offensively, Luke, this team could be 2-1. This team conceivably could be 3-0. Kirk Cousins, whatever the jokes, the memes, whatever everybody wants to say, look, he's still here plugging away after all these years, putting up great numbers. Some thoughts here on this Vikings offense and Kirk Cousins, Adam Thielen, after kind of maybe a little bit of a lost year last year, seems like he's right again. The Vikings passing attack, and hopefully, look, if Dalvin Cook needs another week off to get right, Luke, I can understand. I mean, it'll be okay with me. I mean, it's about the next fourteen weeks after this.
Yeah, we'll see about Dalvin Cook. He did a little bit of work on in practice on Wednesday, so he's on the mend, but we'll see if he's ready in time. So the offense, at least in the last couple of weeks, has run through Kirk Cousins, and maybe that's a for better or worse. It'll run through Kirk. For now, it's for better. He's dealing. The dude is on absolute fire, and he's streaky like this. He will have these high ups, and he'll have these low lows. And so I'm sure later in the season, we'll be talking about a game where he throws three inexplicable interceptions. He had some of those last year where he couldn't even explain them. He's like, yeah, I got nothing on that one. That was just bad. So it'll happen. Right. And sometimes, the cows come home. But he is just dealing. He has been lights out pre-snap, and that has made things so easy post-snap. He's throwing absolute rockets into tight windows. This is as good as we've ever seen Kirk Cousins play in the last couple of games here. Week one, he was whatever. And the last couple of games, he's been absolutely fantastic. You've got Adam Thielen. You have Justin Jefferson. Those guys are it's not unlike what you guys have when Jarvis Landry's healthy. The Odell Landry, these two kind of dynamic wide receivers and all of the schematic things that allows you to do. And the run game ain't half bad either. It is the same run game you guys run. Obviously, Stefanski picked it up from here and took it to you guys. The same outside zone, all of those same kind of blocking concepts and all that. And don't forget about KJ Osborne, the third wide receiver, who has been somewhat of a revelation. He came out of absolute nowhere. He was a forgotten rookie last year and just exploded in camp. He's been fantastic. Tyler Conklin, who was the third tight end last year, but they let Kyle Rudolph walk to New York. Irv Smith hurts his meniscus. He's out for the season. Tyler Conklin, suddenly the number one guy, and he has answered the call. So a lot of guys on this offense have really stepped up to replace, you know, the guys that were the major players when we played you guys in London 4 years ago.
This Browns offense, it features this running game, like you mentioned, that, you know, Coach Stefanski brought over, an offensive line probably that is never, you know, assembled, that was never really behind this type of running game in the years that existed in Minnesota. What do you do? Because I think this is the problem, is teams have faced this Browns offense to this point and said, all right, well, let's try to take this away. You kind of just can't do that, because it's like, all right, we'll just go to option 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right. 9. And it just puts, you know, defense coordinators in a really, really difficult spot, especially with the efficiency Baker Mayfield's been playing with to this point.
Yeah, it definitely provides a challenge. But I have a lot of interesting thoughts on that. But first, I do want to call out Jarvis Landry, and I want to just say a thank you to Jarvis Landry. Is weirdly personally responsible for a lot of good things happening to the Vikings right now, because he has been a mentor to Justin Jefferson since he was like a kid, and he's now mentored KJ Osborne, who is having a bit of a breakout as wide receiver 3. So thank you personally to Jarvis Landry. but so beyond that, the way I understand a Stefanski offense, correct me if I'm wrong here, is it kind of has 3 pitches. There is the zone run that can be, you know, inside, outside zone, whatever. There's the bootleg that's usually like a flood concept or a 3 beater or something like that. And then there's screens when defenses get too aggressive against the first 2 things. That's kind of the Stefanski package. Mm-hmm. So for me, the way that I would defend that is the way that I saw the worst offensive days in Minnesota when he was here was what Green Bay did to Minnesota. They would nail that bootleg. They would send an edge rusher directly at the quarterback every single time. Run or pass, don't care, don't read it, just go at the quarterback and take away that bootleg. And then basically you are a zone run offense with some screens sometimes. And if you can sniff out the screens well enough, you turn them into a one-dimensional. That's how I would defend it. And that kind of makes it this, again, this strength on strength thing, where you have to now figure out how to get a zone run game going against Michael Pierce and Dalvin Tomlinson, who I think are pretty good run defenders. You know, if Anthony Barr plays, that'll help. If Eric Kendricks plays, that'll help. But I think you got to like try to make it one dimensional and do that. And then if the zone run game beats you, the zone run game beats you. There's still a chance that, you know, Nick Chubb just goes for 200 yards and lose the game that way. But I'll take my odds on that versus on, you know, bootleg with floods and Baker Mayfield throwing 30 yard passes over to wide open guys over the middle, that kind of stuff. I'll take my odds on the run, on the zone run game before I'll take my odds on the bootleg game. That's kind of the way, the opposite of the way I felt in Minnesota when they were doing the bootlegs. It always felt like it was working a lot better. I want to take that away.
Well, and this is going to be interesting, and not a lot of people have spoken about this yet this week. You when you have a player like Kendricks and you have a player like Anthony Barr, and there's a lot of people on this Vikings defense who are saying, well, we're not really we shouldn't be this confused, guys. No, we've been up against this a lot. I mean, you know, this is what we did all summer long. We went up against this offense a lot. So, yes, it's Kevin Stefanski's, you know, bringing the Minnesota brand with the Cleveland talent. But, I mean, these defensive guys, I've seen a ton of this, man. I've seen a lot of this.
Well, and they've seen us, though. That's the thing, or at least Stefanski has. So he knows, you know, hey, Eric Kendricks, great player, but if you can get him in this position, blah, blah, blah. If you can get Anthony Barr man on man against a number 3 receiver, if you have anybody who's speedy who you want to send up the middle, or a fast tight end or something like that, that's a mismatch. And I don't know if Anthony Barr is going to play, by the way. He's limited in practice. He's been dealing with any injury. Call him a 50-50 proposition. But yeah, that's what's always so interesting. Everybody knows each other, so we all know each other's tricks. Do you change it up? Do you anticipate that they're going to expect a change up and then you don't change it up? There's a little bit of gamesmanship, and I think that's always fun when you get these kind of old familiar faces all up against each other.
And this one goes down to maybe one of the classic old lines is, you know, it looks like everybody here knows the X's and the O's. So maybe it's not going to come down to the X's and the O's. It's going to come down to the Willies and the Joes and who can just make the plays, who can be somebody in space. And we'll see how that works out. We appreciate everybody along for your crossover Thursday. Locked on Vikings, locked on Browns. Going to flip the script here. We're going to put the Browns under the lens as Luke Braun takes over behind the mic. But look, we love these episodes. Look, as as much as this network in its infancy, we had so much of an opportunity to be close. Look, as the bigger the shows get, the more that's asked of us, and we're appreciative of it. We all don't have the time to really, you know, commingle as much as you would think. So we kind of get to do that here a little bit on Crossover Thursdays. So that's why you kind of get a lot of sunshines and rainbows, because, you know, I mean, a lot of us have been coworkers for years. You don't really
get the AFC ones. I don't get to talk to you guys ever.
Right? I mean, that's definitely a long, long time coming. But more coming here. Crossover Thursday, Locked On Browns, Locked On Vikings.
We'll be right back with Jeff Lloyd to talk about his Browns a little bit more. I've got a bunch of questions for him, so I'll ask those in a second. But first, let me talk to you about your car. So you saved a little money at the pump, but you also might want to save a little bit of money on maintenance, especially if you are trying to take good care of your car, get the oil change when you're supposed to, get the transmission fluid switched out when you're supposed to, keep things topped off. If you take all that to a mechanic, they're going to upcharge you. And if you try to get your supplies at an auto body shop, well, they got retail costs too. They got a brick and mortar store they got to run. They got overhead. They're going to upcharge you as well. And then they're going to go out back and they're going to give a discount to the professionals. Not quite fair, right? Well, Rock Auto lets you get in on those prices. Rock Auto can get you anything you could ever need for your car, from motor oil to gaskets to jumper cables. You can get whatever you need. Just enter your maker, year, and model at rockauto.com. It'll sort through their crazy big catalog of all things cars to get you something that is compatible with your vehicle. And at checkout, there is a How You Heard About Us section. Make sure you let them know there that Locked On sent you. Because if you don't, the rabbits, they're going to put it all on red and let it ride for the night, baby. Rock Auto, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. I also want to talk to you about Grambling. BetOnline is your one-stop shop for all things pro and football Grambling. You can find all sorts of odds, props, and lines. You can bet on the Vikings. You can bet on somebody else if you don't care about the Vikings. Vikings currently 2-point dogs. Over-under, though, is looking real tasty. That is at 51. So if the Vikings-Browns game, the two teams combined score more than 51 points, you cash on that. I'm liking that bet, but you can bet on whatever you want. You can bet on the WNBA playoffs. You can bet on martial arts, whatever. You can even play your favorite Vegas casino games on betonline.ag. And if you haven't signed up, make an account. That's free. And then on your first deposit, enter promo code NFL100. You can get some free Grambling money in your account as well. Whatever you put in, BetOnline will match it. You put in $500 to gamble with, BetOnline will just plop $500 on top of that in free play money. So head on over to betonline.ag, use promo code NFL100, and get a Grambling at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, everybody, we're here Crossover Thursday. I'm Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings, here with Jeff Lloyd of Locked On Browns. We are talking about Vikings, Browns, two teams that know each other pretty well for teams that are in separate conferences. It's always fun. So I got to ask about I got to ask my own stuff about Kevin Stefanski here, because we are familiar with Kevin Stefanski. The way I remember him and the way I'm familiar with him is as an offense that kind of has three pitches. And we talked about this when we talked about your guys. Is that still the move, or have we added more wrinkles here? Or is this really a two wide receiver shot play offense with a zone run game kind of propping it up?
Well, we've seen a little bit in different ways so far this year. We know week one, because we talked about this so much last year, and a lot of this had to do with the fact that Odell Beckham Jr. went down. It took away the opportunity to take your shot plays, and the Browns, and Baker was probably really underrated towards the latter part of 2020, because it was almost like we made the joke he was playing in an arena league field. There was no opportunity to really, really go deep. This year, now with Odell being back, and we didn't see this in his first week back, and understandably so, you want to see the opportunity to start threatening, that deep third of the field, having safeties take command. Donovan Peoples-Jones showing last week 2 receptions for 40 yards that's something he can do. Anthony Schwartz, almost 90 total yards in week one, a very, very quiet week two, very, very quiet week three. But you understand that it's there and the capabilities of a player with his speed, and you have to, take notice of this. Week two against Houston, 90% completions. The Houston Texans sat in cover two most of the day. And Baker, after he got hurt early in the game, it was just kind of like, look, I'll just take what's given. The last thing I want to do is take one more hit on this shoulder that, probably got put back into place and, got a little assistance from a needle. Not that vaccination, but maybe a certain different other type of vaccination. Baker Mayfield got that day to get on through. Last week, they went back to it, though. Last week, they tried to go a little bit more vertical. Baker was only 19 to 31. And this is what's going to happen. Look, I mean, if you want to complete 85, 90% of your passes, that means you're probably not going vertical. But they went, opened it back up a little bit more last week. And they kind of needed to do it because the Bears were clogging running lanes in order to be open up those lanes. And the Browns did upending rushing for over 160 yards. But they needed to threaten the deep part of the Bears defense to basically get some guys to lag off to open up things for that running game. So there is a little more verticality, I think, than there was in the days, you know, when he was with Minnesota. And I think the thing where he wins so well with his team, there's not enough superlatives that come out of these players' mouths when they talk about Coach Kevin Stefanski. He treats them like gentlemen. He treats them, you know, he treats them like the stars they are. He treats them like the future of America they are. And even last year, you know, late in August, you know, he wanted them all. And he's like, with all that was going on at the time, you know, in society, use your platform. If you want to speak up about what you feel is, you know, unjust in this world, we encourage you to do so. And the amount of players I talk with a ton of players that won them over. And it wasn't a question of anything else. It was just a be who you are. We've got your back. Mm-hmm. And it goes a long way. And the other thing is when you go sometimes when the chips are down and you have to go to somebody and say, hey, man, I need a little extra out of you. That's the type of thing that resonates in people's minds that say, hey, you've always had my back. So if you're saying you need a little more from me because maybe I'm not getting it done today or I'm not playing my best and I got to just squash all that and this is the most important drive of the game. And it worked out really, really well towards the end of last year in the 2020 season, obviously into the playoffs and so far with the Browns sitting 2-1 through 3 weeks.
Yeah, you should check out some of the Vikings availabilities from Wednesday. Dalvin Cook talked. A bunch of people who are around who know Stefanski are like, yeah, he'll forever just be my coach. A lot of Vikings players are you know, no, there is absolutely
there will be a long line Sunday of guys in purple willing to come over and make sure they shake hands with Coach Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah, there's a lot of love in this matchup. I want to ask you about Baker Mayfield. I do not know a lot about him. I know he's been running in his own scheme for the last year and this year too, and that's kind of about it. Give me the Baker Mayfield primer.
I think it's a good system for Baker. But the thing is, and this is where so much confusion happens and so much gets lost in Baker Mayfield talk nationally. He doesn't have to do what Patrick Mahomes does. He doesn't have to throw for 400 yards a week. He doesn't have to throw for 5 touchdowns a week. And this is where maybe he doesn't get the respect he deserves nationally because so much of it comes down to statistics and the fact that Baker Mayfield only has 2 passing touchdowns to this point in the season. Browns don't care. 2-1. They're in first place. Yeah. He's got a completion percentage.
Just punch all those in the goal line, right?
Yes. Is he better than this? Could he put up a lot more better statistical numbers? Without a question. He's certainly capable of that. Browns just don't need him to do what some of these modern day quarterbacks do.
I want to flip to the other side of the ball real quick. So we're pretty familiar with that defensive line, right? Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett, Malik McDowell's been this kind of breakout guy. But I want to ask about the back end. I don't know a lot about, I know Denzel Ward, he's good, right? Like, I'm pretty sure he's good. tell me about the back end of coverage. Let's say, you know, the defensive line will cause the problems it causes, but what kind of challenges do we see? What kind of coverages do they like to run? Tell me about the character of this defensive back end.
Well, this is where it's a little bit different because now this has been the transition. Joe Woods, and this was Sunday was his 21st game as defense coordinator for the Cleveland Browns. And when he first got here, it was this talk of, I want to play a lot more nickel. I want to play a lot more dime, which, you know, whenever you hear anybody say about anything, we need to get faster. Well, if you're talking about that on the defensive side of the ball, it usually means you're taking linebackers off the field. You want to get faster. You want to play more defensive backs. He wasn't able to do it last year. They brought in Andrew Sandejo, obviously, as you guys know. Andrew Sandejo, fine guy. Fast is not anything anybody's going to use to describe Andrew Sandejo. Carl Joseph, same instance. They drafted Grant Delpit in the 20 draft. Blew out an Achilles in August. They never even got to see him. Traded for a player like Ronnie Harrison. Ronnie Harrison is built 6'2", about 218, 220 pounds, long arms. They get Grant Delpit back this year. Grant Delpit, about 6'2", 218, 220 pounds. In the second round again, they draft Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. 6'1.5", 6'2", 280. We've got a type.
They're like the anti-Cardinals.
Yes. But even still, the killer of it all, and he really hasn't played that well yet, is you sign the top safety in the free agent market and John Johnson III. So now you brought in 4 guys. You can call them safeties. You can call them nickel and dime players. For the most part, John Johnson III has been the signal caller in the back end as far as the safety. Grant Delpit, Ronnie Harrison, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa. These guys can all kind of rotate around, you know, line of scrimmage and It forces a quarterback to say, well, what assignment does he have? What assignment does he have? What assignment does he have? Is he coming? Ronnie Harrison has blitzed a little bit. Grant Delpit has a blitz for a sack already. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah had a 93.7 PFF grade last week, over 90 in run defense, over 90 in pass defense. So they found a way to kind of get to Joe Woods' vision. It took 21 games to get there, personnel-wise, but you're finally getting there, and it's just getting long, fast athletes on the field who can do multiple things.
Yeah, that all makes sense. It's a really fun matchup. I think, you know, this one feels like it's less about the one-on-ones and more kind of about the two philosophies of teams coming together. Jeff, thank you so much. I'm super excited to dive deeper into these Browns and kind of get ready for this game.
They're a really, really fun group. And the one thing I think you're going to take away from this on Sunday is these guys are fast. That's the one, the biggest takeaway I had from Sunday was this defense was fast.
Got it. Jeff, thank you so much for helping me figure out the Browns. You can find the Locked On Browns podcast free on all platforms, just like this one, just like my Locked On Vikings. You can find, thank you so much. So tomorrow I'm going to deep dive a little bit more into the Browns and the way that they played. We'll talk a little bit about what they did to the Bears. We'll talk a little bit about their other games and really get ready to watch Vikings face the Browns and see if they can't scrape their way back to 500 after an abysmal start to the season. So I can't wait to share all that with you. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. Your second listen should be Locked On Bets. Get your grambles straight. You can find the Locked On Bets podcasts free on all platforms, just like this one, every single day, Monday through Friday. I will see you all tomorrow. And as always, Skol.